listening to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast, affectionately known as The Mog, an open forum and promotional outlet for budding artists and creatives from all across the Mid-Atlantic region. I'm your host, Brad Cox, not necessarily affectionately known as anything other than Brad Cox, but I'm here all the same. Let's see who and what we're chewing on today on The Mog. Friends, East Coastians, and countrymen and women of all ages, welcome to The Mog. As always, links for our guests will be made available in the description, and a song or some type of promotional feature will be tacked on to the end of each episode. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors, Vagabond Sandwich Company, Capricos Books, Musicland, Black Eyed Susie's, Double Groove Brewing, Baltimore Decal Gal, and Reb Records. Remember to love local, support local, and to eat and drink local. Don't forget to use discount code MOGPOD for a 10% discount at Capricos Books. Everyone knows you can't stop by Main Street Bel Air without grabbing one of Black Eyed Susie's legendary orange crushes and a killer lunch or dinner. Black Eyed Susie's has been supporting local for a long time. It's your one-stop spot for original and cover entertainment and an afternoon or evening out with friends on their rooftop deck. If you haven't heard, there's something very special about Double Groove Brewing. It's a melting pot of personalities, ages, loves, interests, and musical tastes. There are hippies, professionals, rockers, folk artists, friends, and families here. Throw in the most delicious and satisfying craft beer on the planet, and this place is complete magic. They are tireless supporters of the local talent. Stop by their location in Forest Hill for a pint and a night out with friends. First Fridays in downtown Bel Air just kicked off their season of community and fun on June 3rd with their biggest First Fridays to date. This county favorite will run through October on the first Friday of every month. The Phoenix Festival Theater is bringing Grease to the Chesapeake Theater on September 16th through September 25th. You best move fast like lightning to get tickets at HartfordEvents.com. Hartford Dance Theater's annual Harriet's Happiest Halloween is celebrating over 34 years of spooky tales and haunting fun, and it returns to the Chesapeake Theater on October 13th through October 16th. Get your tickets at tickets.hartford.edu. The Rock Spring Financial Group brings the American dream to life with hard work, dedication, and pride. Rock Spring Financial Group offers full-service mortgage loan options to either assist with lowering your interest rate, consolidating debt, or buying a new home. They maintain a local reputation with honesty, competitive rates, and trustworthy loan officers. Call Rick Metzger today. He's local and actually has an office in Bel Air, Maryland. Tired of speaking to loan officers from an online outfit? Go with the local folks at Rock Spring Financial Group. Give them a call at 443-801-6389. It's 443-801-6389. They have a 5-star rating on Google. Stop by and find out why. When Melissa Baldwin's not kicking the doors in and raising hell at your favorite local watering holes with her classic rock and roll cover act spinoff, she's likely moving real estate in Harford County and beyond. She not only brings a wealth of musical experience to the Mouthful Graffiti podcast, but she may just hold the secrets to a life well lived. I've grown close to the Baldwins over the years and know that family is even more important to them than careers or passion projects. She's a remarkable woman with an entrepreneurial punk rock heart, and I couldn't be happier to have her on the show. We'd all be wise to learn a thing or two from this powerhouse vocalist from the Free State. Join me in welcoming Melissa Baldwin to The Mog. Melissa, welcome to the Mouthful Graffiti podcast. This is actually take two. So how you doing today?
I'm good, thanks.
Awesome. I'm going to read the news and then we'll get right into it. Feed the Scene is bringing Weather Vane, Lost in Society, Chaz Monroe, and Shift Metal to Waverly Brewing Company on September 3rd. Have you ever been to Waverly Brewing Company?
I have not.
All right. Well, there's a venue for you to check out. Transcendent Events has Dead Like Disco with Brothers Claire coming to Baltimore Soundstage on September 23rd, a day before my birthday. So go down there and celebrate my birthday. Even though I probably won't be there, I might be there. Rapola Entertainment is bringing Falling Through April, Hazen, Made to Rise, and Southview Drive to Zen West on October 8th. And finally, be the first to message me the word heart and win a $25 gift card to the Baltimore Decal Gal. So, Melissa, welcome to the show. How was your gig last night at the Barrel House?
It was off the wall.
Was it?
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
What are the songs that get people off their feet?
Zeppelin.
Or on their feet?
Well, the Zeppelin gets them going. Everybody loves Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Blondie.
Okay. So some Debbie Harry.
Yeah. Pat Benatar. I have to be honest with you, the songs that get me going
are not necessarily the same songs.
No, they are the same songs.
Well, then they're picking up on your energy.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
If I'm standing there and I'm not into it, why would anybody else be into it?
Well, that's true. And there's songs that I really like that live, they don't translate very well.
Yeah, you have to be careful of that when you're playing. Then it becomes self-indulgent. And it's kind of like you want to do. That's the trick.
Yeah, their arms are crossed and they're staring at you get to the next song.
Exactly. And the trick is to be able to do what you love and have people love it.
Right.
And that's not always, they don't always go together.
It's absolutely true. So the Barrel House, for those who are not familiar, it's had a lot of names over the years. Mm-hmm. The last I recall, it's like you go in and you go down kind of a narrow set of stairs.
Yep.
And then you get to the bottom and it kind of opens up into the venue. Is that where you were performing?
No.
Okay.
We were.
Because you looked like you were outside.
Yeah. They now have an awesome outside venue.
Okay.
So it's covered now, and the bands have a huge stage. They have risers for the drums.
Okay.
So they can have bands there. Their huge acts go in the basement, people who can draw like 200
like
or more.
Like Kicks or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. Last night they had a Van Halen tribute band there.
Okay.
So they had two bands going on. And the owner, Elle, she was telling us how much she loved that because some people don't want to go because those are ticketed events. You have to pay to get in the basement. Some people don't want to do that. So having a band outside gives them
what they want. Now, what happens if it rains? Is it just a canceled gig? Oh, it is. Completely covered.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll still do the show unless it's like ridiculous.
Yeah. If it's a monsoon or something, I guess they'd stop it.
So, you know, I've done a lot of shows in my lifetime as well. The coming down, even if you didn't drink last night, you would still be feeling kind of like the come down from the whole thing. So mm-hmm. Are you feeling that right now? Are you tired?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I might have one or two beers. I don't really like to, when you're playing, you got to remember all the words and do the things you're supposed to do. So.
Right.
But yeah, I'm tired. Plus, I'm older now. So
that's what I'm saying.
Going to bed that late, it's like, oh man, I didn't think 12 o'clock would be that early, but it still feels early.
Yeah. And so you're probably not drinking at all when you're on stage, correct?
I will have one or two beers.
One or two beers.
Because I need something to loosen me up. Because I don't know. I know a lot of musicians are like that, where I get stage fright, believe it or not.
And I do too.
And it's like, I need something to.
I'm a nervous wreck until I'm standing on that stage.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the first song, I'm just kind of...
In your head?
Yeah, getting the vibe of the audience, because every audience is different, getting the vibes, how many people are there. If there's no one there, now you're tasked with trying to keep yourself up when there's nobody watching.
Right, because when they're not actually there just specifically for you, like it's not like one of those paid events where they're specifically going out to see the music, you have to kind of contend with the idea that you're kind of in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be difficult because at the end of a song, you can't gauge how well you did because there may not be applause.
Absolutely. And it's especially if they don't know who you are.
Right.
Like they came there to eat dinner and they knew they were having a band, but they don't know what they're going to hear. So it's really hard. That's the sign of a professional too, right?
You just do
being
it.
Able to pull that out.
Yeah. You need to know when you're good, whether they're telling you or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where are you coming from this morning?
I live in Forest Hill.
Oh, God, you're right around the corner.
Yep, it took me 10 minutes. I'm right up there off of 23.
Jarrettsville Pike area, or?
I go High Point to Boggs to Vail.
Well, cool. We always have a fun questions portion. This is just to kind of break the ice, and then we're going to be getting really into this whole thing. What was your favorite television sitcom as a child?
Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver. Oh, God.
Does it tell you how old I am?
Well, it does. So was Mr. Ed in there as well?
Mr. Ed, yeah.
Okay.
Beverly Hillbillies, which actually we still watch.
They were playing reruns of Leave It to Beaver and Mr. Ed when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So we're not that far different in age, but I recall.
It's far enough.
I know it's back there. Give me a favorite childhood story, either of someone in your family or that maybe somebody would tell about you.
All right, you hit me with that one. All right, when I think of my childhood,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a lot of fun stories about my kids and people like that. I don't know. I think one of the most fun things for me when I was a kid, my dad used to put me up on the picnic table at family gatherings and have me sing in front of everybody.
Okay, so that's actually where this all started.
Yeah.
You kind of liked it, and then
my dad was a phenomenal singer. He was amazing. And I guess he figured out
was
I could
natural?
Sing.
Was it natural?
Yeah.
So he just naturally had a great voice, probably into Frank Sinatra and all
those
cats.
Was into country music, so he would do like Charlie Pride and George Jones, and he ran around the house singing all the time.
And you're into country a little bit as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's in me. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I do like country, and going back to the songs I've written, they tend to end up being country songs, and I don't, it's just the weirdest thing. Probably because I heard that growing up.
Yeah, there's definitely a marriage there between rock and roll and country music. Mm-hmm. So how about guilty pleasure music, though? Are there any bands that you'd be like, yeah, I like it, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say it? Like glam rock, bro country?
I do like, well, I'm not embarrassed to say it, though, but I do like Eminem.
Okay. Now, do you ever put the Eminem on while you're on a trip with Bob, or?
No. No, but I do like him. I'm not
because he's insanely talented.
Yeah, yeah, and the things he sings about, like, they are definitely his trials and tribulations.
Yeah,
and you can hear it so clearly. And I love well written music, and I think his music is very well written.
It is. Yeah, he's an extremely talented lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
How about movies? Favorite childhood movie, or just favorite movie in general?
Well, it's going to be Elf.
Elf?
I know, it's
stupid.
So
this is coming on every Christmas.
Every Christmas, I can recite lines. And if you say things sometimes in the middle of a conversation, I might answer with an Elf response.
Okay, so Elf is bringing up something that Lisa and I have been talking about. Elf is the first time that I was introduced to the narwhal. And I feel like as a child, narwhals didn't exist. I don't know if CERN opened a wormhole and brought narwhals through it or not, but they weren't there. Because I think unicorn whales would have been something we would have been talking about as children. And they just weren't there. She's like, Lisa's like, there were not narwhals when we were kids. So do you recall narwhals?
No.
Right. They didn't exist. They were like a fantasy thing, and they're in Elf.
I know. So, it's crazy.
Yeah. What sign are you? And are you into astrology?
Okay. You saying your birthday, I started thinking because I'm a Virgo, September 19th.
Brian Holmes' birthday is, no, oh my God, wait, what am I thinking? Brian Holmes is not September 19th, Lisa's September 19th.
Wow.
Yeah, the light bulb went off, it just went off in the wrong room, but that's really, that's wild. So you share a birthday with Lisa.
Yeah.
You guys are going
to
have to talk
about
that.
Like.
So that's what I'm like. So what is Bob?
Bob is July 29th. I think he's a Leo.
Okay. So we got two Virgos and a Libra and a Leo.
Yeah.
All right. So are you into astrology at all? Do you put any credence into it?
I do. Because, I mean, I know you can always say, oh, find something in common with something else. But I do believe that sometimes it's right on. Like, everybody that I know is a Virgo is pretty strong-willed.
See, Lisa's not.
She's not?
She is not at all.
Really?
She is, I call her Saint Lisa. She just kind of goes with the flow. And
it's not like any other Virgo I've ever met.
I don't know what happened.
They do tend to feel things intensely.
Yes.
Internalize and feel things very intensely.
I don't even know if she
like
does
that,
to be honest. She's just kind of even keel.
Maybe, she might keep it in and not tell you.
Well, she may. It could be a thing.
It could be. So, you're married long enough, maybe you would.
Right. So speaking of mysticism and that kind of thing, ghosts. Do you believe in any ghosts? Have you had any ghost encounters?
I've never had any, and I believe that happens to people.
Yeah, I do too.
I just don't know if I'm in tune enough. You have to be like super in tune and ready for it, and I think I probably miss the signs.
Okay.
Because I'm all over the place all the time, and I don't know that I'm centered enough. I think a centered person can like feel those things.
We've had a lot of experiences. As a matter of fact, the old townhouse, when we sold the house about 2 years later, the girl who bought the house reached out to Lisa and said, "What the hell is going on in this house? There is a weird energy in here." And we had some ghostly experiences.
I remember you telling me some stories like that.
But apparently it was so bad that she actually brought a priest in and sold the house. Now, we had people renting the place who had no issues whatsoever. So we're kind of convinced that maybe there's some ghostly activity there and she brought her own activity. But it was.
That's what I think. I think the energy, it could have been happening and those people didn't notice. Like, it has to do. And they also say kids like can tell, but then you think they're making up stories and
you don't buy
they're imagining
it.
Things. But I totally believe that it's real.
Yeah. Favorite Starburst. This is an easy one.
Yellow.
Yellow? Okay, so yeah. Everybody who's been on the show in the past year has said the strawberry, the pink one. So
oh, they can have my yellow. Pink ones.
Really? You don't like the pink
I
ones?
I don't like the pink ones.
All right.
You guys can all have my pink straw.
All right, so Starburst. You come from a rather musical family. Obviously, Nick Baldwin is in the punk rock band Enemy Insects.
Enemy Insects, yeah.
And you just told me that your father was a fantastic singer. Where did you get your start? This is your chance to kind of tell us your story. Besides singing right. on top of picnic tables.
Right. You know.
Because I want to know, like, how we got from singing on picnic tables to fronting Spinoff.
Right. So when I was 18, I wanted to sing in a band. And back then, you looked in the newspaper to see who was hiring. And there was this band called Shooter.
Okay.
And they were looking for a front person. And back then, there weren't a lot of girls fronting bands. There were a few that we're talking 1980.
On the national scale, you had like Pat Benatar, Lita
right,
Ford.
But locally, yeah, yeah. When you went to see bands, a lot most of the time it was boys.
Yeah.
And they said they were looking for a tenor. And so I called them and I said, would you consider a girl? And they were like, you know what? Sure, why not? Come in and try out. So I did. And they played rock.
But you're even more than a tenor. I mean, you're singing high.
Yeah. But I knew that
but
I would
you could
fit,
get down there.
Yeah, I could fit into that role. So I went in, they hired me, and then they there's actually a book out of Baltimore bands that goes way back. Do you have it?
I do have it.
Shooter's in there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Little bio. Is your name in there with it?
I don't know if they added all our names or not. I just know that they're in there. So from then, I went to a band called Wind, which I have a picture of in here in my little box.
And how
here.
Old were you when you were in Wind?
In Wind, I was 20.
Okay. So yeah. 18, it's Shooter. You're getting started. 20, you're in Wind.
They were a variety band. Shooter was rock. They were Wind was variety
band.
Now,
when you say variety band, it means pop as well.
Yeah, everything.
It could be anything. Okay.
Yeah, it was anything. And then from there, I took a break for a while. Got married, had some kids. Well, no, I took a break for a while. And then I ended up in Tiffany, which was a huge band in Baltimore for a while.
Okay.
We played.
So no relation to the Tiffany.
No.
Okay.
They were
Catch
a band
Me,
called
I'm Falling
Tiffany.
And all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Nope.
Okay.
And they had several different singers over the years. So I was 86, 87.
Okay.
And then that's where I met Bob because he had seen the band. He had seen the band. He had a friend who was in a band at work. And he got to work the next day and he's like, oh, I saw this band. We were at Maxwell's. There was a place called Maxwell's where he played. And he's like, oh, I saw the singer. I really, really liked her, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what? The girl in my band knows her.
Right.
And so they kind of introduced us. So we had a blind date set up and he stood me up. And then he stood me up. So I told his friend, I said, you tell him he just forget it. I don't really want to meet him. And then finally he showed up at Christopher's. Do you remember Christopher's? Are you too young for that?
Where was it at?
It's Petonia Station now.
Okay. I knew it was Petonia Station.
Yeah. So.
But I know where it is.
It was a really crazy club. I don't know. I'm going to go off on a tangent, but it was so crazy that there was like three levels. There was a dance floor and then another level with bars and then another level with bars. And all the levels had a bar you could sit at and there were telephones sitting there. And what you could do is if you were on the other side of the bar
like
and you saw somebody.
Phones?
Yeah, you saw somebody you liked, you would pick up the phone.
Oh, no way.
And dial that. No, I'm not kidding. And dial over there and you could talk to them.
That's really actually awesome, and they should do that again because you could be having your own experience within a venue that other people around you don't know that you're having.
Like, it was
and
insane.
By the way,
it was the biggest pickup choice.
It's got to be awesome. Even if you just start as a playful interaction, it could lead to something.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, I like that.
Well, that's where Bob showed up. And
okay, did he get on the phone?
No, but we finally started talking, and I was, of course, madly in love right when I saw him. And he asked for my number, so I went to get a match book and write it on the matches, because back then you could smoke inside and all that stuff.
I do remember that.
And on the match book, when you flipped it up, it said name, phone number, how we met. It was like a pickup match book, so you could pick up somebody and write your stuff. I had no idea. I said, honestly, I didn't know that this was on the inside of these matches. I've never done this before. But that place was crazy. We played there all the time. It was off the hook.
Yeah. So what about like high school, middle school? Were you playing any instruments? Were you in chorus? I'm trying to get at like, where did the voice come from?
Okay. So I played the flute. I was always in theater and I was in chorus. So I did theater and chorus. And I can remember, I think I was in fifth grade and I wrote a song and I took it to my music teacher and she helped me put music to it. And she was the most supportive person. I'll never forget it.
So you wrote the lyrics and then she helped you kind of flesh out a
yeah,
foundation.
I sang the melody, I wrote the lyrics, and she just put all the chords together and the things like that.
So that's an early age to be doing that.
It was, yeah, I wish I had that stuff, you know.
Right.
For a long time, I could still sing it in my head, but now I've forgotten it. It's been so many years, but.
I think you kind of wish you had that stuff, but the reality is I have purged so much. That closet right there is like where all that stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I started thinking one day, this is kind of morbid, but I was like, if I die and Sam goes through this closet, she's going to hear her dad not being so great. So I started like breaking tapes, ripping up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I just started getting in my head about it. It was like, not even just Sam finding it, just maybe other people going through my estate. Because there's like demos from when I was like 12, 13 years old. I don't want people hearing that.
But you do, though.
I don't know that I do, honestly, Melissa. I really don't know.
See, I feel like that musicians are a weird breed because we're so insecure.
We are.
And afraid to admit that we're so insecure. Like we're supposed to be.
Especially when you're fronting a band, you want
to
have a certain.
Be cool and have it all together. But we're so insecure with everything. And it's like you feel always. And in general, people always feel like they don't measure up.
Right.
So, and that's everybody, not just musicians.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But did you have vocal lessons along the way?
No vocal lessons.
Just natural talent.
I'll tell you how I learned to sing. There were two albums. I mean, listening to Pat Benatar and all that, but.
I got her record over there.
Linda Ronstadt had an album where she had He Ain't Heavy on it and Old Paint, which is an old song by, I don't know, the guy they used to accuse of being a Russian. He's an old country bluegrass, an old country bluegrass guy. I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, I listened to that album over and over and her inflection and her, how she hit the notes. Cause I was just, I thought her voice was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I would sing over and over. And that's how I learned to sing, was listening to when she let it out, when she held it in, when she powered through something. And then Olivia Newton-John, believe it or not, had an album called Clearly Love.
Rest in peace, obviously.
And I listened to that album over and over and how she sang, because she had this angelic sound to when she sang. And I was like, where are they getting this from? It taught me how to. Then I had a music teacher who taught us how to sing from the gut. And that was just the music
class. It's such a hard thing to describe to somebody that doesn't understand that. Did you have any disconnect with learning how to do that?
No.
It just kind of came naturally.
Yeah, I really do think some of it comes to you. I think it's God-given. I really do.
I've told the story on other podcasts, but I took lessons with Steve Whiteman of Kix.
Oh, yeah.
And this was years into what we were doing. So anyway, I went in there and he's just like, you can sing fine. You have no confidence. But just having somebody that I respected tell me that, I had like validation. I knew, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm getting in my head when I'm getting on stage. So do you ever get in your head?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I don't like to listen to the stuff back. Like,
well, it's never the same. Like the cell phone videos and all that.
No, it's not. But it makes me, it destroys my confidence.
Yes.
Because I never hear what I really sound like.
And you don't sound the way on those videos that you really sounded like at the venue.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm like, why are these people telling me that I'm good when I'm listening to this thinking,
No, you're very good. I've seen the Facebook Live videos. As a matter of fact, Mark Bandy. Now, I work with Mark Bandy at Hartford Community College.
Uh-huh.
He's walking down the halls, and I knew he played in a band, and he's played in various bands. And he just stops, and he's talking. This is, I think, right before he joined the group. And he's like, have you ever heard of a band called Spinoff? And honestly, I didn't put two and two together. Mm-hmm. I knew you played in a band, and I knew that you sang and all that, but I didn't realize that it was called Spinoff. And he's like, oh, yeah, and the singer, she's so good, man. You gotta hear her and this, that, and the other. Well, I went later that night and checked out Spinoff.
Wait
a second. That's Melissa Baldwin. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're very good at what you do. And are you getting more confidence as you go, though?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm also getting less I really don't care as much anymore. I'm getting, you know, as you get older, you kind of drop all that nervousness about what other people think about you.
You do lose a little of it.
Yeah. And I also have decided, look, how many more years can I do this, right? I thought I would die and not do this again after that break.
Well, that's what I was curious about, because that break that you're talking about is 20, 30 years, right?
Raised kids.
Yeah.
After Tiffany, I got married and I had kids, and it's hard. My husband traveled. It's nearly impossible to do that lifestyle and have children, especially when your partner travels.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it's hard for a husband or a wife to have people ogling their spouse all the time. And it's a difficult position.
I don't know how Lisa does it, honestly. Yeah. I mean, it's got to take a certain temperament and trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure that we had that in the beginning of our marriage. Not that he didn't trust, it's just that it's hard.
I'm nervous of other people more than I'm nervous of her.
Well, and that's what he would say. Like, it's like crazy.
When she goes out, I'm thinking, is somebody putting something in her drink? Mm-hmm. Is something happening? And because you can't be there, you don't want to be like overprotective or overbearing, but at the same time, it's like...
Yeah, I do believe that's... She's five foot nothing,
for one.
Right.
I'm 5 foot nothing, so I'm not sure I could do anything about it if it did happen, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the break was really true. And I wanted that. I wanted a family. I wanted all of that. I just didn't know how much of a hole would be left from not having the music.
Yeah.
And so you were talking, you had put a post out a few days ago about, as you get older, you're wondering what mark are you leaving, or what is it that you're supposed to be doing? Was I supposed to be doing this?
I've been having some existential crises lately.
It happens, though. And it happens. And so now I'm just like, you know, just do what the heck you want now.
Yeah.
Do what you want. Your kids are gone. And so now I'm just sort of like, if the people who love what I do will come and the people who don't like it don't have to.
Yeah.
And I want people to like it and I want people to enjoy it. So, but I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. The fun has to outweigh the nerves and the pressure and all that kind of stuff.
But secretly, I love the nerves and the pressure.
Maybe that's part of it too.
It's just weird.
Speaking of which, you brought a box.
I did.
Of goodies. What is this box and why did you bring it?
Okay, so you inspired me to bring this because when you said you were going to figure out what was going on, I'm going to show you how much I have left of this whole lifetime of... Oh. So we didn't even touch on the songwriting and all that stuff.
Oh, we're going to get into all that. Right. Oh, yeah.
So this is all I have left. And it's because I didn't prioritize keeping all of those things. So I have some
lyrics.
You
also didn't grow up in an era where people were taking pictures of every single thing.
This is wind.
Okay.
So this is me at like 22.
Oh, my gosh. I can see you.
It's 80s right there. There's my final night with Tiffany. We have a VHS tape of. I've got my cards of my new bands.
Anything of Shooter? You got Shooter in there?
Nothing of Shooter. Ah. And I mean, we have no record. You didn't record anything. There's nothing to do.
You were 18 years old.
Yeah. Then a song that won some awards. I have the original tape of it. And that's it.
So tell me about the song that won some awards. Okay. I'm like looking down at my notes and you just kind of slipped that out there. Let's talk about the song that won awards.
So this lady here... Wind, Gail in this picture. She's a keyboard player.
Okay.
She and I used to write music together back in the 80s.
See, that was my next question. It says, how about original music? Have you ever sat down to write any songs of your own? And what was the process like? So, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect segue.
So, we wrote quite a few songs.
Okay.
And back then in the 80s, there was no way to get your music to people without mailing them a tape.
Right.
So you would put it in envelopes and you would mail the tapes to them and you would hopefully they would get back to you and say, oh, we like your song. We either want to sell it to this person or pitch it or we want you to sing it or whatever. So we wrote several songs. This one, All My Dreams, was one of the first ones. We had it at our wedding. And then we wrote a song called You Go Too Far. That was a pop song. All My Dreams is more country. We wrote a song called I Remember You, which was really country.
Do you have the original tapes?
This is the only one I have the original of, and I have...
No, I mean like the reel-to-reels.
No.
No,
they
really
were done
cool.
at John's studio.
John Grant?
Yeah.
So he does have
He says
them.
He doesn't have those old ones because everything's changed over. I mean, we're talking 30 years ago.
But you could even probably export that and just, even though the quality wouldn't be the best, you could still probably get it up on Spotify just for your own memories.
Yeah. I mean, I do have I Remember You digitally. So, but Washington Songwriters Association used to have a, they still have a contest. It's like the 35th year now or something. 1989 is when we won the awards.
That's awesome.
So we won an award for this one. We won an award for three awards.
And then Billboard, I didn't know any of this about you, Melissa.
Yeah,
none of this.
Billboard had a songwriting contest. They might still have it. And we won honorable mention. And that was nationwide. So we were super excited over that. I don't know if you remember Tommy Price.
I don't remember Tommy.
He used to front Great Train Robbery many, many years ago.
Okay,
Train
so I've probably met him then.
Yeah,
I just, yeah,
been together forever. Well, anyway, we needed somebody to rap on this one song called You Go Too Far.
Okay.
What we thought was rap in quotes, right?
Right.
So we were like, we don't know anybody. So
Raps
we got
changed
him.
A bit.
So we got him to come in because I had met him through, I think we've probably known him for a long time, past high school. Anyway, so he came in and did the rap part. So, and a lot of these we recorded in Gail's studio because she had a studio for many years.
So have you gone back and listened to it recently?
Not this one, but I Remember You I listened to.
Okay.
And it was
so early. How do you rate yourself then in your growth now?
I would probably – my voice was phenomenal. It was much higher then because you're younger.
Yeah.
But as far as
– the folds are more – fluid.
Yeah, yeah.
They get kind of tight when you get older. You feel that.
Yeah, but I have much more soul in my voice now than I had back then.
Okay, so you've learned how to control that. And that yeah. really, soul comes from breathing from your diaphragm.
Yeah, back
you can't
then,
get
I
a lot of soul from head voice.
No, you can't. And I think I was doing a lot more screaming back then than actually using what I could.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I do have a history of writing, and I have a whole bunch of lyrics in here that have never made it to anything.
This is a far later question, but do you think that Spinoff might write some songs, or you might write some songs and have Spinoff help you kind of get them together?
It's possible. We've talked about it. Spinoff has had some changes. When we first started, we were Willow Oak Band.
I kind of remember that, actually.
Yeah.
That's why I was confused when Mark asked about Spinoff, because that is not the band I associated with you.
Yeah, it was Willow Oak Band, and Gail is the one who called me and asked me, did I want to start an old person band? And I said, yes. They had all of the pieces together already. They just needed a singer. So when we were Willow Oak and then we changed the name to Spinoff, we were talking about doing some originals, and the guitar player had written a couple of songs and I wrote some lyrics for it. And then COVID hit. We didn't do much. And then the beginning of this year, we all just sort of, the band sort of split in half because the guitar player, we just had like different ideas of moving forward. They wanted to do a lot more originals. And the part that's Spinoff now really didn't want to go that route because I would love to do originals, but it's not what I want to do a lot of.
You can't do a lot of it. I was just telling somebody, it's like, if you're playing in an original band, you can't play every single month because every show is an event because you have to sell the tickets. There's so much that goes into it, as where when you're doing the cover music, you can play every weekend if you want.
Yeah.
You know, because the crowds are built into the people that are going to these venues.
Right. And that's how I felt. I was like, nobody's going to come. You have to build
that too.
A following.
That too.
Yeah, because they don't know us, and you have to build a following. And I know it's easy to get on YouTube now and get your songs out there. It's a lot easier. But at my age, I know that sounds terrible to say that, but it's like I don't have time to rebuild an entire career.
No, I totally understand that.
So if we do originals, it'll be great, and we'll maybe feather them in here and there. But the people who come to see us are not there to hear us.
I'm one of those people that, like, I have to do whatever I'm doing 100%. And so when I finally stop doing originals and start doing covers, that's going to be it for like the originals. And I think my reluctancy to get into doing covers is it's basically like I'm closing that door. And that door for me is like 1996 until now. So it's very hard for me to get into that world. But I kind of want to get into that world soon doing the cover music because I want to play more frequently.
Yeah.
I don't want to play once a month or once every other month. So.
And you don't think you can do the side gig of the originals?
I probably could. But I think that in order to learn all of those cover songs, to me, that just seems so overwhelming. Learning the lyrics, learning how to sing those particular songs. I mean, how long did that take you? It had to take time.
Well, it was about a year. It was about a year for us for all of us to do it. And then Mark came on a few months ago when we did the restructuring, because the guitar player also lived in Florida.
Okay.
So it made it tough. He would fly up here. He was hugely committed. He would fly up here for gigs, fly up for practice.
Wow.
But it kept us from being able to do last minute gigs.
Right.
And with COVID, we've had quite a few of them. So I just think the direction, he wanted to do a lot of originals. So I just, and I think you're right. It's a lot of work to write music, record music, get it the way you, I mean, it's nonstop 24/7. It's in your head. It's in everything you do. You're thinking about it. So I think you're right. It is hard to do both.
Yeah.
Really well, I guess I'll say.
And then just for me personally, doing the podcast, it's taken away from the music. So you do get to that point. I said on the earlier show, basically that when you get older, you start realizing you can do more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, what do I focus on? And it sounds like to me, you've decided to focus on the cover music and it's working out for you.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I will write some, I wrote a song for our 25th anniversary. I wrote Bob a song.
Did you really?
Yeah. Nick had some little recording stuff in his room at the time and he helped me record it. He played all the instruments so that I could get it done. So that's been really special having him do music. He definitely gets it naturally. No one taught him how to play guitar. He taught himself in college.
And you're talking about Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taught himself in college how
to
play.
You guys did a duet together at one point because it's kind of a popular video of you guys sitting out at like a campfire playing a song together.
Yeah, that was in our backyard. We were playing together. And we also recorded a version of You Are My Sunshine together.
I remember that. That was like 2 years ago, right?
It's been five now.
Okay, well, that's just time.
That's COVID taking all those years away from
right.
us, I think. But yeah, it was like 5 years. So I have that now. And so he's definitely, it's been fun watching him do his music. And
yeah.
So.
Did Audrey ever play any music? And when I say Audrey, I'm referring to your daughter. I know she's into soccer, but did she do music?
She, when they were kids, they had two rules. They had to play an instrument. And they had to be in a sport.
Okay.
Because the instrument taught, you know, math skills go up when you play instruments. And it also teaches you about rhythm and stuff like that. And playing a sport teaches you how to work well with others.
Yeah. So round you.
Yeah. It makes you more rounded. So she did play, what did she? She played like three different things. She played the piano for a while. And now she's saying she wish she hadn't given it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a parent, you get tired of forcing them to practice.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. If you don't want to practice, then we're done.
So with all your musical ambitions, did your parents support you?
No, they really didn't.
Okay.
They really didn't.
So we have that in common. My parents, they weren't having it. It was more of a like a religious thing. Like they saw it as the devil. It was the gateway to hell. So it was like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Yeah, their rock and roll was fine. My rock and roll was a problem.
My parents were just so, I don't know. They just did the best they could.
Yeah.
And what I wanted and the things I wanted, and all, it just didn't really factor in.
Yeah.
You know, my dad just, he worked all the time and I don't know. No, they weren't supportive.
Fair enough. When you were growing up, a lot of the bands that you're playing now, you were a little closer to those bands than I would have been.
Yeah.
What was it like seeing these different ebbs and flows of music? So like, obviously the Rolling Stones and the Beatles would have come out before you, but you were closer to it and you were watching that whole thing open up. So rock and roll was really, really vital back then. I mean, how did that impact you?
Right. So that first band I was in, Shooter, when we were playing those songs, those bands were putting them out at the time. You play them now and it's like, oh, that's so old. But they were on the radio when we were playing them.
Right.
So when we were doing the Pat Benatar, she was hot on the radio. When we were doing Led Zeppelin, they were putting out music. Styx, putting out music. Like, it was just right then. So it's wild to see. First of all, Nick and I have had conversations about this over and over. Like, are there bands now that have that type of legendary?
I don't think it can happen.
Stick to it. Like, and I'm just trying to think of bands that might, like, 30 years from now, people be going, God, this was a great song, you know? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm sure if I thought long and hard, you know, about it, I could come up with some, but it's really difficult. 30 years from now, are we going to see the Foo Fighters up there? You know what I mean?
Are but we they've already been around for 40 years. Oh, no, not really. But I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
The so 90s like, is like 30 years ago.
I know. That's now classic rock.
Right.
We're talking oldies when I'm talking Led Zeppelin. They're now oldies. That is the thing that has hit me the most. And then watching the music industry, how people don't necessarily have a ton of talent and can still perform. You know, you go to the concerts, you're like, this didn't sound anything like what I heard on it. Back then, you had to bring it.
So you've seen the ebbs and flows in music. So rock and roll has obviously not been a predominant force in the music world for 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it'll come back with a vengeance, or do you think that it's just kind of petering out and that's just kind of what it is?
I think it's petering out.
Yeah.
I don't think people are into that type of performance. I think they're more into the everything digital, electronic. They like it. It's obvious in what's selling now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you'll still have your diehards and the fringes and, you know, things like that. But I don't know. What do I know? That's how I feel.
No, I agree with you. But there is one thing that I believe is taking place, and it's called generational flattening. So because these kids have access to all the music now, before they'd have to go out and buy the records, mm-hmm. listen to the records, get into the records. Now it's like you can go to a show and see a band that's playing 90s music, and the kids could be early 20s, mid 20s, and they're into it just as much as the people that grew up with it. And to them, it's their music, and to us, it's our music. But that generational flattening is being attributed to all of the music being available at our fingertips at all times. So there is the possibility that there could be a resurgence, but maybe it's a resurgence of the same music that's already out there, not new music.
Yeah. Well, you see them redoing all these old people are redoing them.
Like
redoing.
Movies.
Yeah. They just redo the what was great. And it's a little bit frustrating because you do crave something new. And I crave new rock and roll music.
So like what bands are you into now?
I know this. Some of your listeners their heads are going to blow off. But I do like Greta Van Fleet.
Okay.
And I know it's because they sound like Led Zeppelin. And I think that's okay.
As long as they shed that skin at some point.
I don't think they can completely shed it because it's right. Who they are.
But I think where it gets to the point where it's like they're modeling the inflections, the lyrical content, the marketing.
Yeah, that does like, have to stop.
Yeah, you're going to have to become a little bit more you. Still do the rock and roll. Maybe even that style, but
I mean, I like Pretty Reckless.
I love Taylor.
Yeah. Love. I love Dorothy.
Okay.
I'm like so into her voice.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Lizzie Hale, Hailstorm.
So the weird thing about Lizzie Hale is we played a lot of shows with Hailstorm.
I remember you referencing that.
Yes, like a lot of shows. So they were like in our scene. Mm-hmm. They made it. The rest of us obviously did not. And the next thing you know, it was 2008. It was a snowstorm. It was her last show before she like really got signed and got big. The next thing you knew, she was larger than life. She was a rock star. And it just happened. And it was weird because the last show she played was at this little dingy club. Like I said, it was snowing. There was nobody there. And nobody would have known that she was going to be the next big thing.
That's crazy. She probably didn't know it either.
She kind of knew it. So when she was kind of coming up through the ranks, she had, I believe it was Nikki Sixx's label was interested in her. And they changed the name to Methods of Seduction. I actually have like one of their old promo pictures of them as like Methods of Seduction.
Wow.
And they ended up changing their name back to the Hailstorm.
I like Hailstorm better.
I do too. It's their last name, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So you brought up like Dorothy and Taylor Momsen.
Yeah.
How about male vocalists?
I like
what rock and roll guys do you really like?
Yeah, I do like the Foo Fighters, which is why I brought them up. I mean, I like his voice. I like.
Well, your band spinoff. What are some of the bands that you cover? I know you do AC/DC. Or at least is that a new addition?
No,
you,
we don't do AC/DC.
You don't?
Nope.
Didn't you just get up and sing an AC/DC song?
I sang with another band called Dying Breed. They let me sing with them.
Okay.
And that...
So I just assumed that.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Highway to Hell, right?
Yeah, Highway to Hell. And Bob was like, wow, you... Because I wouldn't do AC/DC because I say, I can't pull it off. He's like, you can't do pull it off. So we do classic rock. So like I said, we do Zeppelin, we do Benatar, we do... We do Pretty Reckless. We do Take Me Down. We mix it with Sympathy of the Devil.
Yes. Sympathy we stick over that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great, like, go get a beer song, because you could, like, leave the stage, go get a beer, and they could just be soloing the entire time.
Yeah. We don't do that, though, because, like, Mark's not huge into doing, like, long solos and stuff. He feels like it's self-indulgent that, you know, only guitar players get into that. That's what he says.
Well, he's a great player. He could do it.
Yeah, he could. And we say, sometimes, you know, we want to extend some time or whatever, get into it. But he's like, nah, I'd rather have us be playing music. So we're doing a little bit of shift. We're going to do a little less of the poppy stuff. We do have some pop songs in there, like X's and O's and stuff like that.
I would love that song. In.
Yeah, because those types of people love. But the only time we're going to be doing any pop anymore is if it's stuff that really gets people going. So the rest of it's going to be like rock and roll. So we're going to do some Saving Abel and things like that that just bring a little harder edge to it, because that's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's like 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to do that. Plus, people going to the bars now they're not staying late at my age. It kind of does a turnover. It's very tough to play places now because it does this turnover of older people leaving and younger people coming in. And even though the younger people like the old classic stuff, they do want to hear some of the newer stuff too.
So, I think going back to the generational flattening, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It's tough though, because you want to do what you want to do too.
Right.
Like, it's really hard to marry those two.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things and there's certain songs that, like, if I hear it, I can't do it. Like, Don't Stop Believing, just like, all right, I'm going to go get a beer.
Yeah.
I don't drink anymore, but I'm going to go get a beer. So I feel like at the core of rock and roll is social change, and it's intended to have a bit of a punk rock element. You grew up with bands like Alice Cooper, Black Sabbath, Zeppelin. Did you really grasp what was going on at that time?
Probably not. I do know, like, I don't know if this is okay to say, but like when The Police came out, that was kind of the first taste for me of an alternative to what we were listening to.
Right. There was more of a punk rock element in that music.
Compared to what we were listening to. Right. So, and then you had Sid Vicious and those types that were getting global popularity. And that was like the first time I was introduced to that stuff.
So you just brought up Sid Vicious. I'm a huge Sex Pistols fan.
Mm-hmm.
Were you around when that all hit? I mean, you were around, but were you aware of it?
Minimally.
Okay.
Minimally. Like,
because it was so impactful.
It was. And he and his girlfriend were plastered, like, when they started dating and all that.
They became the face of the band, even though John Lydon was the singer. But
yeah. Yeah, so it was like you were kind of minimally aware of it.
Right.
At least I was. So I would say on a small scale, punk rock was sort of – but it was real punk. Like, when I talk about punk rock and what I like to hear, it's not necessarily that
right.
that music. It's more of a
– more of an underground
– yeah. You might call it watered down.
Okay. You mean like Green Day?
I don't consider them punk. Are they punk?
I think that they would like to be considered that, but it's more rock.
Yeah, I consider that rock. Like the Ramones.
Okay, I love the Ramones.
Yeah, wouldn't that be like more watered down type of...
Nick would be the one to have on the show to tell us
what... answer those questions.
Yeah, I mean...
He would set me straight in 5 minutes.
He probably told me the Sex Pistols are lame.
Well, because he's real...
Like, he's really into it. He knows all the underground bands. I'm into it to the degree that I'm into it.
Yeah, and do you think that's changed over the years?
I don't know. When I was a kid growing up, we were only aware of bands like the Misfits, the Sex Pistols, the Ramones. You weren't really – bands like the Dead Kennedys or Minor Threat or stuff like that, you might have seen a T-shirt, but you'd have to really go out of your way to find a record, because
really
you have to find the record.
Yeah.
You can just pull out Spotify and be like, oh, let's listen to the Dead Milkman.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not for lack of trying. It just wasn't as accessible.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I would have enjoyed it more had it been like plastered a different place. You just didn't – the clubs you went to, they weren't – unless you were in that crowd, you weren't in those clubs.
Right.
You weren't in those spots that were – you know. So, yeah, I would definitely have enjoyed it more, I think.
Socially speaking, you were closer to a lot of the changes in cultural issues and how they played out in music. How do you feel women's role in music has changed over the years?
That's
I know it's kind
question.
Of a heavy question.
Yeah.
So feel free to kind of digest it and then.
I think we have a long way to go. I think it's the objectification to me has gotten a little bit worse. Because when I look back at how they were promoted, it wasn't everything out. I'm not saying I'm against all that and that I'm a prude or whatever. I'm telling you the changes that I've seen.
Right.
I mean, I ask myself over and over when I watch some of these female performers, where are the pants?
Right.
Does anyone own a pair of pants? And it's just, I don't understand that because I don't feel like
I think it's just
necessary.
Constantly pushing the envelope. Like people like Madonna really started pushing that envelope
she
in
did.
The early 80s. And
she did.
And everybody wants to, I guess, maybe see how far they can take it.
Right. Yeah. And as long, like Madonna did that to herself. She did that on purpose.
Right.
Right.
She would claim that she didn't, though.
She orchestrated everything she did. That's what I believe. The same with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
That whole shtick in the beginning was to get noticed. And it worked.
Right.
And she's very talented. I don't want to take anything away from that.
She's an amazing
vocalist.
So
there's a million talented people. How do you get yourself out there? Do things like that.
Right, dress like a ham sandwich. So, spinoff, how often are you guys playing?
We play about 3 times a month, maybe
okay.
4.
So that's pretty active, actually.
Yeah, that's the most we're probably going to do.
You have any favorite venues at this point?
I do love the Barrel House, just because they're really good to us. It's close. Friends can come. Let's see. I don't know if you've ever been to the Willow Restaurant in Glen Burnie. They have the most fabulous food, and we like playing there. The people are wonderful. I like playing where the people that run the place like us and are nice and like bands coming in. So
right.
There are some places that they just do it because they have to, and, you know, you're part of the furniture.
Right. Is there any, like, least favorite venues?
I'm not going to say that.
Okay. How about dream venues? Like, are there venues you want to play you just haven't got to yet?
I would love to play at Looney's.
You could play Looney's.
Yeah. They're an agency place.
Starley. It's mainly Starley.
Yeah. So we're talking to them and trying, but we have to make a few changes and, you know.
What about like recording a demo reel of you either going to like John Grant and covering 30 seconds of a couple covers?
Yeah. We did that as the old spinoff. We did record some of our stuff.
So this is a spinoff of spinoff.
It is. It's crazy. And we're keeping that name because you just never know. We might need it forever.
You can always change the band members. It's always relevant.
Exactly. But we're going to redo it because it really wasn't a reflection of what we are now. So
yeah,
that's something we have in the works.
Most annoying thing that you deal with in the cover world? Is it people like just coming up to you while you're performing and being like, play Wonderwall? It's like, is it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's often when people get drunk, especially at cover shows, and they see you as like a DJ and they just,
yeah.
They walk right up to the stage. It's like, I'm in the middle of like, hit me with your best shot. And you're screaming Freebird at me.
I don't know. The most annoying thing. I can't answer it.
Okay.
I really can't.
You'll be spilling beer on the monitor or...
We haven't had anything that crazy yet. You know what? If our shows were that crazy, I'll come back to you and say, all right, high five, because I'll be into it.
Right, right.
Just do it.
It just got that much better.
Yes.
So who's all in spinoff? Let's get them all a shout out on the show.
Okay, so we got Mark Bandy on guitar.
So who are we tagging?
Mark Bandy.
Uh-huh.
We've got Joe Maggiore. He plays bass. He's from New Jersey. He played in blues bands. He's a great musician. He actually plays blues drums. He can play some acoustic guitar. He and I are also in a trio together.
Okay.
And he's been in bands for like forever. He's a very, very good musician. Drums is Dave Carter Jr. And he's been around the scene for a while. He was like a drum tech. And he played with, I think he was a drum tech with Tripwire.
Okay. God, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
Good band. Very good band.
Might have played with them once or twice. New Romance might have played with them once or twice. But he knows all those guys, and he's really a good drummer. And then there's Mark Bandy, who's been in, he was a band called Solstice. And
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember Solstice, spelled with a soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's who's in the band now.
Cool. In the introduction, I talked about your real estate background. You're not just a musician. You're doing all kinds of things. Are you still doing the real estate, and to what degree?
So now I am partnered with Stellar Home Group, which is a big group in Coldwell Banker.
Okay.
And I am their referral partner. So now it's that I can still be involved in the transactions. Anybody that I want taken care of, I can be hands-on. Okay. Somebody wants to sell or buy, my friends, family, or old clients, I can stay in the loop. And then just refer business to that group, depending on where the person's looking, because they're in different they've got different states.
Sure.
And they also have different specialties. So they have an investor person. And so since working with them, I'll be able to focus on my music and still do real estate.
Any difficulty juggling the two?
Before I became a referral agent, there was.
Yeah.
Because real estate, you got to be available 24/7.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I would feel like maybe a gig could land on a closing night or
Or somebody wants to see a house. I'm sorry, I have a gig.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear that.
And they don't deserve to hear that, right? Because if I'm going to be your person, I should be available. So not that everybody doesn't have that challenges with life. You know, your kid has a concert. You got other things to do. But so that's where I am with real estate right now.
What's next for Spinoff? Are you getting the RV? Bob?
Oh, gosh.
He wanted me to ask you about the RV.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to do that right now. I want to do it. I have like these dreams of traveling all over the country and just not being beholden to any one place.
But you're already living out your dreams. Why not?
I know. Well, I can't play in a band and do that. So it's got to wait.
What if you could find a band that could actually go on the... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be like the sky is the limit?
Now
kind of thing?
We're talking about unicorns.
Right. Now we're talking about narwhals.
Yes.
Which, again, were not real when we were growing up.
But apparently they're real now.
But you work with Bob. Now, Bob is running your sound. I had no idea before the show.
Yeah, he is.
So if the sound's bad one night, are you like fighting on the way home?
Sometimes.
Really? My vocals were too damn loud in the monitors.
Well, because I don't understand sound.
Right.
Right? So all I know is what I want.
Right.
And sometimes I can't get what I want. So it causes an argument. And it's like, you know, I trust him. He knows so much about it. And to be honest, when he started with Spinoff, he didn't know anything about it. You know, and he just said, I'll do it. I'll do the sound. And he's come so far and he's doing so well. And, you know, I have a hard time getting my voice to sound how I want it to sound. And the problem is I can't vocalize what I want since I don't know what all the terms are and those kinds of things. So he does a great job. It's just, yes, it does cause fights.
But,
and he also is 24/7. You know, he's all in everything. And I'm sure that you're like this. Like something, it's all the time. And it's like, get out this morning. He's playing stuff from last night. But I said, I just heard all this last night. Could you please stop playing this music over and over again? He's like, yeah, but I'm trying to download it. I'm like, just do it when I leave.
Yeah.
So
is he handling your marketing as well?
He does.
He does. So he's doing all the show posts.
Yeah.
And
he's very good at it.
Well, good.
Yeah, so I'll let him do it. I'm not very good at it.
The alternative would be if he was completely indifrent to it.
Yeah.
And that would be a problem.
Yeah, there's, you know, the wives of the guys in the band, you know, there's that balance. They're not there all the time. They're not involved like that. So it's like, really, you're taking time away. Well, for us, it's like all the time, both involved. So he's not as involved in the trio. I get let him off the hook.
We didn't even talk
that.
About the trio. What's the name of the trio?
We're called Just Sayin'.
Okay,
and
Just
we just started. And Aaron Burnett is our guitar player in that. And we get to do like laid back versions of stuff. I adore the trio. I'm playing guitar in it, which I hadn't done before. So I'm loving that.
Do you feel like doing the trio and being in that more intimate like space, it creates a little bit more nerves, but I feel like I actually perform better because I can hear myself better.
Yeah. And people who have come to see the trio have said that to me. Like
I knew you were good, but now I know how good you are.
Yeah, they're like, you're not hidden by all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, rock's loud and, you know, we're going 100 miles an hour. This, I can just like, oh my gosh, it's so freeing. It's like sitting in your bedroom on your bed playing the guitar and singing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And then having people enjoy it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think that it's going to be too exposing or people are going to hear me for who I really am. But once you do it, it's like, yeah, they're going to hear you for who you really are. And it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, and you're right. It makes you feel so free. It's just, I don't know. I love it. I really do. So I'm getting the best of both worlds right now. The trio has just started, so it hasn't really taken off. But I'm excited for where that's going to go because I like that.
Well, Melissa, thank you for coming on to the Mouthful Graffiti podcast. I appreciate everything you shared with us. And we're going to get this episode out probably later tonight.
Awesome. Thank you.